Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, hello and welcome to episode number 124 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed, and my pal Sean. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm just working out divorce costs at the moment.
Oh, really? No panic, Ree. Ree's the first person to listen to this usually, just to check it's all kosher and above board, and we haven't said anything too
silly. So it's £60 for a nice iron, £75 for an absolute. It's expensive, this, you know?
Well, that's a myth, though, isn't it? But fear not, listeners, we're not talking about divorce for no reason. Today's episode is focused on divorce. Thanks to listener... Judy? Yeah, Judy emailed us in.
Hi, Judy.
Saying she's having sounds like a particularly lengthy divorce ongoing at the moment for her. So, hopefully we can explain a few things and help her on the way and a few other people while we're at it. Hey, Sean?
Yeah. I deal a lot with couples, so it's out there for me on a daily basis, really.
Yeah. Well, we all know folks and people out there struggling in relationships and what have you. But lots of show notes and links in this one that will be on the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. Head over there for all that stuff, all the previous shows as well, and lots of other goodies as well. Hey, Sean?
Yep.
How you been? How's tricks?
I'm good. I'm back to running. I'm doing my yoga. And I'm wondering about... I saw a guy on TV this morning who went blind and started doing lots of going to the North Pole and stuff like that. And then
he didn't know where he was walking, or he just ended up there by mistake.
He was led there. Very determined guy. And then he had an accident and was paralysed from the waist down, and he's trying to learn to walk again. But they do a thing to raise money for him, which is called Running in the Dark, about spinal injuries.
Okay.
And there's a 5K and a 10K run in Manchester on November the 11th. Starts at 8 o'clock at night. And it's running in the dark like you're blind. Which is quite cool. So I thought I might do that.
That's cool. Well, yeah, I'm a trustee director, whatever, I'm not sure which one, Royal Society of the Blind.
Yep.
Royalsociety.org.uk. I'm in there every couple of weeks just having a look and helping out with things.
Yep.
But one of the things I've suggested coming up as an event is a blind run around Birkenhead Park. Kind of guided with one of them.
Yeah.
Someone else. But that'd be quite interesting.
Yeah.
They've also suggested, like, do a full day, you know, with a mask on, just to kind of put you in there.
I did a seminar thing at a RAF site down the other side of the M54 on Monday. And we were talking about losing limbs, because it was about limb loss, health and safety stuff.
Yep.
And one of the practicals that we do is we say, okay, take your right shoe off. So everyone takes their right shoe off. And so now put your right hand behind your back. Okay, now put your shoe back on.
Hmm.
Yeah. And obviously, if you've got laced shoes, it's easier for people that got kind of loafers because they can slip them on.
Yep.
But if you take the lace issue out, then you've got a problem because you can't de-lace up with one hand unless you are amazingly skilled. And it just gives you kind of instant insight to what it's like to be in that position.
It's important to kind of immerse yourself in stuff like that every now and again, just to appreciate what you got and all that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, even if you've only got one arm instead of no arms, it's not too bad, is it?
Yeah, amazing.
Yep.
Bodies are incredible.
They are.
So what have you been up to then?
Yeah, no, I've been using my body. I've been out and about cycling down to the station. My new routine to Liverpool is quite cool. Hop on my bike in the morning, cycle down to the station, hop on the train. The weather's caught really nice at the moment, like kind of late summer, early autumn, and beautiful light in the morning.
So do you get off at Moorfield?
James Street.
Right.
I go off at James Street. And then I think I could get Moorfields, but there's a big... Once you get off at Moorfields, it takes forever to get to fresh air.
Does it?
So I'd rather get... If it's not raining, I'd rather get upstairs at James Street and walk along past the town hall and...
Right.
Kind of, yeah, because I'm just enjoying being in Liverpool, actually. And yesterday I had a meeting at the Albert Dock.
Right.
Beautiful blue skies, and it's amazing. Yeah, what a town.
Yeah, yeah, it is lovely.
Till the rain comes and it's cold and horrible and murky, but
I think that Liverpool for me is one of those towns that you get a clash of architecture. You get amazing old classical artistic architecture next to very kind of sharp, hard, very modern glass tower blocks. And there's lots of buildings on the front there that look like ships, the way they're
indeed, done. Yeah, quite deliberate that, obviously, yeah. Amazing history. And in fact, there was a ship in the Albert Dock yesterday when I was there. On the inside of the Albert Dock, you know, where the Tate Gallery is and that.
Yeah.
It was underwater. Obviously, it's sunk quite recently.
Oh, right.
There were a bunch of engineers and machinery trying to
work out
bring
how to
it afloat again. Everyone's crowded around watching that. There you go. Mm. All right, let's crack on with the show. We're talking about divorce. Yeah, Judy emailed in. Going through a lengthy divorce at the Mo, as often divorces do tend to be. That they don't have to be, as we're going to discuss.
And that's the point, really.
And every now and again you hear about a divorce where there's obviously been a certain amount of pain, which is inevitable, I guess, even if you're just talking about the point where you realise it's not going to work out for whatever reason. But you hear about couples that have done it a nice clean break and they're still friends in some cases, and they see each other, and they, if they've got kids, it's kind of a nice situation where they're back and forth and all that. It's quite rare though, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what I'd like to talk about, how we can bring that percentage up a little bit, or whether that's just too high a goal.
I think that the problems that I deal with are that when someone is at the divorce point, they're at the divorce point usually when they come to see me anyway, because of the animosity is high. And it's what's happened prior to the divorce point that has been the problem. Not necessarily the behaviours of the person that are the sort of structural reason for the divorce, but the emotional interactions around it. And it's that which is destructive, and it's destructive for the people individually, because it builds those levels of negativity, hatred, anger, all that kind of stuff going on. But very often there's kids in the middle of it.
Yep.
And the kids are the ones that are the meat and the sandwich. And the amount of times I've worked with little kids from divorcing families where the child believes it's their fault.
Right.
They've actually managed to work through it all and come to the conclusion that it's their fault. If it wasn't for them, their parents wouldn't be being divorced. That kind of stuff. Because it all gets mashed up in this horrible stuff. And it's not nice. It's not nice at all. And yet there are people who do get divorced, who become very good friends, maintain their friendship, and especially when there are kids involved, and even have friendships with the new partners that they have and all that kind of stuff, which is quite magical when you see it.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be a bit kind of jaw-dropping sometimes.
Cause you almost don't expect it. It's almost as if you kind of think, well, there's a brilliant, which we were listening to before we came on air, Louis C.K. bit.
That was funny.
A comedian about divorce, which we'll put in the show notes. It's a little YouTube video. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
Saying it's basically the best phase of his life so far by miles, way better than marriage.
Yeah.
But there's a quote that you can attribute to him saying, "Divorce is always good news." I know that sounds weird, but it's true, because no good marriage has ever ended in divorce. It's really that simple, which is...
Yeah, and that's right. Because one of the things, when we were putting notes together here, one of the things I wrote down was, if you don't love me any more, then it's time to go. And one of the problems is that when people are at that point where it's kind of over, but they can't face it, is when the poison starts to set in. And it's much easier if people can be honest and say, look, okay, you know, I'm sorry, but this is over for me now. And once you got to that point, it's like, make your exit as quickly as possible. It's awful when I work with couples where the marriage has come to an end. I was going to say split up, but actually they're still together, because one of the issues then is about the house. The house is the main asset in most families, and people don't want to leave it. And very often solicitors will advise, do not leave the house. You know, keep your foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So you end up with two people living at war in one property, especially if it's small, and then you've got kids stuck in the middle. And then it's, tell your mother this, well, tell your father
that. Yeah,
that kind of thing. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the issue really is, for most couples, if it's over, get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get away from each other. And you've got a chance of surviving with something that's worth surviving with.
Yep.
Yeah, if you stay together for too long after the end point, it gets poisonous.
Yeah, if you let that those feelings fester and yeah. Oh my word. Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. I think that the other biggie when we're looking at this is, because I think we need to look at this in terms of pre-divorce, divorce and post-divorce.
Okay.
Yeah. And the pre-divorce issues are about the more you can communicate with each other in the most positive way that you can. And I accept the difficulty in for most people in that statement. It might be, who are you kidding?
The classic case of divorce was because one person has strayed into another relationship. Often it'll be the person that's in the relationship calling time on the marriage because they see this brighter future ahead with the other person, I guess.
No other way.
Really?
But also the idea that there is another person. There are several things in that. The first thing is that lots of people get divorced without another person involved. And the issues that they divorce over are things like pornography, internet pornography, gambling. You know, there are a whole load of things okay. that people divorce on that aren't to do with them having another partner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are lots and lots of people, I've seen this so many times, where someone wants to get out of a relationship, but they don't feel strong enough to do it. And they have an affair with somebody. And the person they're having the affair with gives them the self-esteem and the energy. It's almost like they become a tire lever where they can lever themselves out of the relationship. But once they're out of the relationship, that affair relationship doesn't last.
Okay.
It was there as a stepping stone. It had a purpose.
Right.
I've seen that so many times. Mm. And the person needed it. They couldn't have got their wherewithal, their emotional wherewithal together to do it if they hadn't had the support of the other person.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that people do that deliberately. It's not a conscious, hey, I'm going to use this person to do this. It's just something that people do. And once they've left the main relationship, they realise that the second relationship's kind of invalid. It hasn't got any basis other than it was there for them.
Just to get them out of another situation.
Yeah. And it helps what they needed.
Yep.
But that pre-divorce stuff is so important. If you know your relationship is coming to an end, and you know it's going to go down, you're making a set of choices maybe months or even years before the event. Mm-hmm. And you can be investing positively in this. You know, even if you decide that you need to get out of this relationship, you can do it in the kindest and the best way that you can. You can make sure that you're providing for everybody. You know, or the provision is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that we're not in that situation of you know, the classic woman who goes for the throat of the man.
Yeah, I'm going to take you for everything.
Yeah,
you've got.
Rip all the, yeah. And many women do that, you know, and skin people rotten. And I've known women that have been very successful at that too. They've done that several times and have got themselves in very nice financial positions using other people's resources and money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and legally in our system, you can do that.
Well, yeah, divorce is seen as a very expensive business, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, unless you're a lawyer, you're going to come at it pretty badly.
Well, looking at it here, if we're looking at the actual divorce situation itself, is that if you do in the British system, British Welsh system, because Scottish law is slightly different, then if you do a do-it-yourself one with the county court, it's £410. To go for a divorce. If you need a financial order, that is, you can't agree the finances between you, you need the courts to do it, that'll cost you another £250 on top of that. And then when it comes to the end, you have to have a decree nisi and then a decree absolute. Do you know about that?
Certainly not. No.
You get a piece of paper which is a decree nisi, which says, okay, this contract is coming to an end now. Because that's important. The court just sees it as a contract that has been breached, okay? So the contract's been broken, so we're going to legally bring it to a close.
Mm-hmm.
The nisi is about the preparation for the end, and the absolute is the end. Once you've got the absolute, you are divorced. At the nisi, you can still turn back, but once you get to the absolute, that's it, it's done.
Okay.
Yeah, and it costs you £60 for the nisi, £75 for the absolute.
This sounds very reasonable so far.
Well, you can do it if you start looking at the cost.
I'm starting to feel quite tempted by this. Just kidding. I thought it's going to cost me like 10 grand.
Well, you can get out for about 600 quid. Yeah, 600 quid all in.
Well, that's an iPhone.
An iPad, yeah. If both of you are reasonable about it, and that means sitting down and being able to agree something, and this is the scary bit, the costs of divorces where people don't sit down and can't agree and have to go through all the processes of lawyers, mediation, courts, anything else, it averages out between £8,000 and £15,000 for a divorce.
Sure. Yeah? Yeah.
And the thing is that comes out from both people. The way the law works...
Which, interestingly, is about the average wedding cost as well.
Is it?
Well, most people I know, wedding, you're looking 8 to 15 grand-ish.
Right.
Give or take.
The same in and the same out.
Yeah.
So this marriage cost me 30 grand. It was 15 grand to get it and 15 grand to get out. Yeah.
Although you can get married very cheaply as well, you know. Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't have to be 10 grand.
Yeah, two of you down the registry office. That's it. Done.
Done. Bosh, bosh.
Fish and chips. Pint. Back home.
You get on with life until the divorce and then another. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, it could be cheaper to get married than get divorced if you do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is that all the assets of the family are put together. So that is every savings account, every insurance policy, every pension, the equity on properties, the value of cars, you know, maybe diamonds, jewels, everything is put in a pot. And those are the assets of the family.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into the contested divorces, you get people trying to hide assets and all that kind of stuff. And that's when the costs start to mount. When you start to take away the debts of the family, that's everything that everybody owes. That's the hire purchase agreements, it's the credit cards, it's the loans, everything like that are the debts of the family. So you take all the debts away from the assets. Okay, now you've got this lump of money left, and that's what's split. And in our system, usually it's split 60-40, so that the parent who's staying with the kids gets 60% and the parent who's going off gets 40%. That's a standard.
Fair dues.
Yeah. But the costs of the divorce come out of that before that split. So if you want to play games and spend £10,000 or £20,000 in court costs and legal fees getting divorced, all that does is reduce the amount of money that there is to share between you at the end of it.
Okay.
And most divorces from that point of view are a complete waste of money. And the only people that are clapping their hands and rubbing their pockets are the solicitors.
Yep.
You know, who do make a phenomenal amount of money out of other people's inability to communicate. Yeah. So I guess the people that come to see me in the main are people who are trying to avoid that kind of cost.
Yeah, well, let's think about Judy then. I don't know the specifics. It was just a very simple little email. But let's assume she's halfway through this, or who knows how far through this lengthy divorce. I'm not sure either side how people are feeling, but what would your advice be, or where do we start?
It's hard to do that without knowing. But I mean,
we're talking about issues of forgiveness here, aren't we?
Yeah, it can be. The main thing is being able to get two people to sit down in a room, which is the mediation thing, which can start off as Mission Impossible.
Yep.
But it depends on whether that the people coming into the room are focused on where they're going or where they've been.
Mm-hmm.
Because very often mediation fails in all kinds of situations, not just with couples in the workplace too, because people are trying to use the mediation session as a way of getting out or punishing the other person rather than trying to find some positive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that the issue of, because I mean, like I said, there's three bits of this. There's the pre-divorce, there's the actual divorce process itself, and then there's the post-divorce that we need to look at. But the people who get damaged phenomenally in this process, yes, the couple do, both do. The person who is leaving can get as damaged as the person who is left.
Yep.
It may not appear like that, but when you work with people later on, you know, the scars and it's quite, you know, the emotional stuff is quite difficult.
Yeah, but
But the people that really get battered in this are the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even there are issues when you're looking at divorce, because in when you get married to somebody, it's like love me, love my dog. You marry their family. You marry their brothers and sisters, their mother, their father, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or their friends. Well, when you get divorced, all those people are affected by the divorce as well. Mm. And they all go through the bereavement of loss and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, but I mean, yeah. Well, we've got quite a tight little group of pals, you know, all the husbands are all pals and all the wives are all pals. So, like, statistically, was it 40% of marriages end in divorce now or something like that?
So
seven or eight of us couples, so let's say just one of us gets divorced. It'd be really messy, not just for the couple that got divorced, and so let's say they have kids further down the line, which they probably will. That would be horrible for that family.
Yeah.
But even then, just like the dynamics of our group.
Yeah, but also in your group, all the kids will know each other, because when you get together, all the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
The ripples like, in
will
the pond.
Will I be able to hang out with that guy anymore, or with his missus, or oh my word, if she comes around for dinner, it's also CB. What do I say? All that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah. So I mean, the ramifications are enormous.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't realise when we're in the midst of doing all this stuff going on.
Yep.
But I think anybody who is considering divorcing needs to, in their pre-divorce thinking or planning, maybe before they even vocalise what is going on for them, is that there is an awareness of these things, of who's this going to affect and how's it going to affect people. I think that in previous generations, people had you've made your bed and you must lie on it kind of attitudes. And people stayed in relationships that weren't good for people.
Yep.
And although lots of people now will say to me, it's too easy to get divorced now. People don't try in relationships. People don't work to get it done, you know, and make it work, stay together. But the other side of that is it's very easy to stay in a negative situation that can be as damaging for the children and as damaging for the couple, if not more so than getting divorced.
Sure.
Yeah. So you have to be realistic about it. I think there are lots of people that do cut and run too fast.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, yeah, what's the world record? I mean, I know a friend of a friend of a friend who it was over before it started, you know. It was like he'd been having an affair whilst he was engaged, and then they found, I think, yeah, I won't tell the story just in case someone it lasted like days,
yeah,
and then it was over.
Yeah,
you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of pressure on that the marriage, because there's so much money goes into the big ceremony.
Yeah,
I know you can get weird kind of insurances now, you know, against. I don't know if they could actually cover like people being idiots and having stuff going on in the background. But there's a lot of pressure on that big moment, isn't there? You've been building up to a wedding for a year, and it goes ahead, and you're getting jitters and nerves, and you don't want to go through with it. But you have to, because people have invested so much time and money, and oh my word.
So many people have said to me, I knew that I shouldn't have done this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the way to the service, I stopped and had to vomit, you know, that kind of thing. But they went ahead and did it because it was all booked, because everybody was there, you know, and they knew inside themselves that it was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For folks going through divorce at the moment, or for maybe thinking about they're not happy in a relationship and thinking about I need to go down that route, like you say, it needs to be kind of that kind of mindful awareness of who it's going to affect, how to do it, a bit of preemptive thinking about what's going to go, rather than just going in a blaze of glory, opening that door and we're getting a divorce. Just needs to be a bit more calm and measured if possible.
Yeah. But we're like that as a society, you know. We wait for things to explode rather than going home and saying, no, I'm sorry, but I really don't want to do this anymore. You know, I'd like to bring it to an end, you know, in a nice way as possible. You know, we wait to find a reason, and then we scream and shout at each other. And we get, you know.
Yeah.
The one of the things that I do a lot with couples in terms of couples work, and sometimes it's even with couples who have actually split up, but and living in different places, but want to negotiate a coming together again.
Yeah.
And being able to do that and doing a proper kind of contract, because I do that. I will get people to agree a contract. We'll write the contract up. We'll sign the contract. And then we'll meet again, maybe 3 months, maybe a year down the line.
Cool.
To check out that the contract's being maintained. As we're starting to because most people, it's the I love you too, skip off into the sunset stuff. But no one actually checking out what you meant when you said I love you. So it's like people get it wrong and renegotiating what's actually going on here. What's this relationship about?
Yep.
Because when I'm working with couples, it starts off with the mission statement. You know, what's it's like a company. If we're going to be a family here, maybe there's us and the kids and the dog and the cat and whoever. Like, who are we? What are we? What is our mission statement for our relationship, for our family? Who are we?
Yep.
You know, and if we're going to have kids, they're going to be inducted with this mission statement, with the way that the ethos of the way that we are.
Mm.
And that is a really, really important thing to do. To work out what it is. It's like, in your family, what's Team Ed mean? What does it mean to be a part of Team Ed? And if you're a kid growing up in Team Ed, how's that going to affect you? Yeah, and being able to actually write a mission statement for who we are and what we're doing, just like a company would. And
stick it on the fridge door.
Yeah, it's a really powerful thing.
Although we've got an integrated fridge, so it's kind of like in the cupboard, a bit tricky.
Every time you open the cupboard, isn't it?
Yeah. We can't put magnets on it. It's a bit annoying. I'd like a fridge where you could put magnets on. We could, because then...
Magnetic paint.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm digressing a little bit.
Post-divorce, assuming that you've done it.
Yep.
However you've been damaged physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, you know, those kind of things. Most people, when coming out of divorces, either think, that's it, I'll never, ever meet anybody again. Maybe I'm too ugly. I mean, one of the problems is, if you're a fella and your woman's gone off with someone else, the men go through all kinds of stuff about, you know, was his willy bigger than mine? You know, could he last longer than me? All that kind of stuff. Real kind of self-esteem stuff. And I've known guys come out of relationships who haven't had a sexual relationship for like 5 years. Because they just haven't been able to get the confidence in themselves to do it again. And equally so, if it's a woman, you know, which, you know, I'm fat, I've got stretch marks. And especially when you've had a couple of kids. And the amount of times I've worked with women who they're kind of in a relationship or the relationship is about to begin, you know, and they're kind of first in again after the divorce. And they're saying to me, I'm really terrified because I'm going to take my clothes off and he's going to see all my stretch marks and he's going to, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But learning to love yourself again, to get your self-esteem back.
Takes work.
Yeah. And statistically, within 2 years of a divorce, most people are into another relationship of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not everybody, but I mean, on average, it's kind of a 2 year period. But because people used to come out of relationships going, I'm never doing that again. They're all bastards, whoever they are.
Yeah.
And then gradually it
works. We win
them
round, don't we, in the end?
It's the other way around. Yeah. You're just so charming. Yeah.
Cool. There's a decent Huffington Post article, 8 Secrets to a Good Divorce, which has got some good tips. I'll stick that in the show notes. I won't go through them all now.
Give us a couple.
Well, yeah, take a long view towards the future.
Yeah.
Which is what we've discussed.
Yeah, big one. Yeah.
Start with the end in mind.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Have that before you open your mouth, get your head.
Yeah, out. Yeah. So don't just fly into it without thinking about it. Do your homework is point three.
Yeah.
Try and learn about what's involved, and so things aren't coming as a huge surprise all of a sudden. And you,
yeah.
I guess that's about get emotional support. Yeah, share it with somebody. Is that to do before you tell your husband or wife that?
Yeah.
To speak to someone else and get some.
I think to sit down with someone, not someone who's involved in the situation. Someone who is an unbiased pair of ears, and to just run it by them, because it could be that you are. Because I see that as well. I do see people that have got divorced and then regret it.
Mm.
You know, what on earth was I doing?
Okay.
You know,
speak to someone like yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Move beyond blame. Yeah, tricky that one, but got to be done at some point.
But that goes back to the Live in the Present book. It's the forgiveness, the letting go. It's all that stuff. Because when you hang on to it, it just hounds you to death.
Yeah.
You drive yourself around the bend.
and there's a few more about process and costs. And, but yeah, I'll stick this, I'll stick the link in. And there's a few more besides. But yeah, yeah. Remember that Louis C.K. quote about no good marriage has ever ended in divorce.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, and that's the point, isn't it? Is that, and it's realizing that, because I see people. If you're with somebody who's saying to you, I'm sorry, I don't love you anymore, I want to be out of this, I want to go. And then I see people fighting desperately to get the person to stay. But if you look at it honestly in yourself, why would you want to be with somebody who didn't want to be with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if someone says to you, I actually don't want to be with you anymore, well, that's fine, but the sooner you go, the better.
Yep.
Yeah, get it out of your life. You know, get yourself sorted and start again. Yeah, and but people try to hang on for all kinds of things. They hang on for money, house, pension, kids, all kinds of things, and then have a horrible life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and as Groucho Marx did say, marriage is the chief cause of divorce. So yeah, just be careful before you get into it in the first place. Only kidding. Only kidding. It's a wonderful institution.
Yeah.
But who wants to live in an institution, eh?
Yeah,
that's another Groucho line. Two Groucho quotes in one, in a space of a minute.
Yeah.
Go on, what you can say.
Yeah. No, I can remember in a play, someone said, you know, what's the worst way to die? And someone said, don't get married, it's long and messy.
Yeah, humour's important as well.
Yeah.
With everything, blimey. All right, you got a resource of the week?
Well, my resource is, because I've been looking through it, is if you go through the app stores, there's a whole load of divorce apps that are really useful, because they're things that talk about what can you do to save money and not get the legal side involved, and how can you stay emotionally fit. There's a lot of stuff out there. But on the book front, there's a lot of books out there for divorce. And there's some good books out there for kids. There's loads of kids of different ages, whether they're preschool, whether they're like 7, 8, whether they're into their teens, all that kind of stuff. There are good books to help kids get through it. And for the young ones, it's storybooks. You know, Mr. Bear and Mrs. Bear are getting divorced. And it's like it goes through the process.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are really, really good resources, because you have to remember that in the same way that you have to pre-divorce you and your partner, you have to pre-divorce the kids as well and do it positively,
yep.
If you can. And it's not, if you can is the big in brackets one. Because you can only do it if the other person is a reasonable person as well. If they're not, then you're wasting your time. All you can do is protect yourself and protect the kids.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, I've mine's not really related to divorce, my resource, but I have, I'm proud to say, divorced myself from horrible, mucky, coal-ridden, carbon-made electricity. So, right, I signed up for this website called thebigdeal.com, which you were invited to put your details in. And basically it was crowdsourcing for people to switch to 100% renewable electricity. I'm quite into my renewable stuff at the moment. I'm reading a lot about it.
Yeah.
Climate change, all that stuff. I'm quite a believer in that. Big thing coming up in Paris in December where the governments are going to get together and yada, yada. Anyway... 10,000 people, myself included, with thebigdeal.com switched to a company called Good Energy, and now we actually, anyone can go with Good Energy, but we got a good deal because we all switched together, so I'm getting a saving on my bill. Anyone can switch to them in roughly the same cost, but as of now, 100% of all the electricity in my home has come from solar farms and those big wind turbines you see spinning around.
Yeah.
Which is a good vibe, I think. It's a good feeling. Yeah. So I'm doing my little bit, so I'm saying it on the show now.
Goodenergy.co.uk.
Goodenergy.co.uk. It's all British sourced renewable electricity, which I think is pretty amazing. Because I emailed my utility supplier, which were Utility Warehouse. I've been with them for ages. Great company. Just to see what the split was. And they got back to me fair enough, but it was 17% renewable, 20% coal, 30% nuclear, that kind of thing. So I was like, that's not very good. It's 100%. 100% renewable electricity. Now that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm getting into my house, which is awesome. Not, I haven't got solar panels on the roof or anything. But yeah, I would encourage other people to take a look.
My thing at the moment is that in our planning laws, it should be in the planning laws that you have to have solar panels. Mm. When people build houses, they have to have solar panels.
Built in, yeah.
So that the house is effectively electrically independent.
Yeah.
And maybe it's putting money back in the grid, so the house could actually be making money for the household.
Indeed. Well, yeah. And there's battery systems coming out now that you'll be able to strap to your wall in your garage or whatever, which you can get the energy during the day and then use it at night from your battery, because that's a big part of solar. The issue is there's nowhere to store the energy. A lot of it kind of gets lost unless it's used straight away.
But what they're doing in Wales is Ross Niagara. No, it's not Ross Niagara. Mine Turog, I think it is. They have a lake at the bottom and a lake at the top.
Oh, now I've heard about this.
And,
yeah.
And when electricity is cheap during the day, they pump water up to the top, or at night they pump water up to the top lake. And then when they need the extra electricity, when it's expensive, they run the water back down, generating electricity.
Beautiful. It's awesome. Yeah, the weird thing about burning coal is you don't burn coal and make it from that. It's boiling water to make steam to drive turbines.
Yeah.
So it just seems like a real waste. But anyway, we're getting there. Yeah. I'm quite positive. I'm quite hopeful for the future. But anyway, an easy way to do your bit. Good energy. Yeah. That's all I'm saying on that for now.
Where's your electric car then?
Well, that's coming. Yeah. Give it another few years.
Yeah.
5 years, I'll have one, don't you worry.
Yeah.
right, next week we're talking about FOMO, fear of missing out. Katie from Berlin's
FOMO.
Email, which is a big thing for these people these days, especially if you're on Twitter and you see people off around the world. I've got pals in Dubai working over there, having a ball, maybe people are on holiday, travelling in the Far East. You feel like you're missing out a lot of the time when you're seeing what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Whereas quite often we have everything we need right in front of us all the time anyway.
Yep.
So let's talk about that, shall we?
We will. FOMO.
Yeah, FOMO. That's a new one for you. Hashtag FOMO. Right, livingthepresent.co.uk. All the show notes and links, as mentioned. If you could share this show with a pal, with lots of pals online, stick it on Twitter, stick it on Facebook, livingthepresent.co.uk. That would be brilliant. Because we want to share, spread the word, don't we?
Spread the word. Live in the present and be fulfilled.
We don't want people missing out on this, do we?
No.
Fear of missing out on the self-help podcast, can you imagine? Right, take care. Sean, see you later.
Yeah, see you. Bye.
Bye.